Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio, a show featuring people and companies who are making a positive contribution to the world. This show will help you learn how to apply success principles in every area of your life so that you can make the most out of your skills and talents and accomplish more of your goals. To find out more about the show, please visit www.journeytosuccessradio.com.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Journey to Success Radio today. My name is Tom Tuttle Cunningham. I'm the founder of Journey to Success Radio. I'm the world's most well-known Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor and also the creator of the Journeys to Success book series. I'm located in Toronto, Canada, and my guest today is a fellow Canadian and lives nearby as well. Guest today is Kevin Donald Cooch. Did I pronounce that right, Kevin, the last name?
Yes, you did, Tom.
Perfect. Kevin is a husband, a father, and a Canadian businessman, currently living in Waterloo, Ontario, which is a really cool area of Ontario. We got a lot of young people, a lot of university people, and a lot of exciting things happening in that Waterloo, Ontario area of Canada. Kevin was born in the small town of Peterborough, Ontario, located about an hour and a half northeast of Toronto. Raised by loving parents and akin to an older brother and a younger sister, Kevin enjoyed growing up in a small town. He was educated at Sir Sandford Fleming College in his hometown of Peterborough, where he spent 3 years and received a diploma in electronics engineering, specializing in telecommunications. He started his career at a small interconnect company in Peterborough and later moved to Waterloo region in 1996 to continue growing in his career. He's still in the telecom industry today, and he currently owns and operates a high-tech sales and consulting business named Strategy Global Inc., located in the Waterloo region. He specializes in unified communications technologies as well as multi-site networking and structured cabling. And we're going to find out what that's about because I'm not even sure myself. Welcome to the show today, Kevin.
Hey, thank you very much, Tom. Appreciate being here.
Now, that's a huge industry, telecommunications industry. Was there a lot of thought that went into getting into that, or was it like a first job that came along, or how did you end up in that industry? It's a ginormous industry, and it seems to have taken to you because you've been at it a long time now yourself.
Yeah, it's funny. It's one of those things. I never set out to be in the telecom industry. I didn't even know what that was until my second year of college, actually. Like most young boys, I wanted to be a police officer. You know, you kind of idolize the man in uniform, and that was really my path. I started working a job in security. I was the mall cop, you know, and put my time in there. And really, that was my goal, was to become a police officer. I started in a law enforcement course at Sir Sandford Fleming in Peterborough as well. And it was funny because I started to study, I was taking courses like psychology and sociology, and I'm thinking, I just want to go to the gym and work out and run and put a uniform on and those types of things. And so it didn't hold my interest. And I decided, well, what can I do now? And I thought about moving into the field of electrical and becoming an electrician. So I switched majors at that point. I did a year of law enforcement. I switched majors and I started out taking the electronics engineering technician program. And through that first year, there was actually a seminar on telecommunications. I had no idea what it was, but it was a mandatory seminar. And I remember sitting in the crowd and somebody saying to me, okay, this is what we're going to do next in this industry. We're going to take telephones and computers and we're going to marry them up. And you're going to be able to talk on your computer like it's a telephone, and you're going to be reading caller ID and popping stuff on the screen so you know who your customers are. And the seminar and the presenter, and I wish I knew who it was at the time, blew my mind. And I guess the rest is history. I had the bug, and I specialized my second year in that program in telecommunications. And to this day, I'm still in it, run my own company in sales and consulting. And it's been 20 plus years now that I've been in the industry. Never look back.
Is there a short definition of the telecommunications industry to give people an idea? Because it is such a ginormous industry, but people don't always recognize what the word telecommunications means.
Yeah, I think you can actually break the word down into two kind of separate categories. Tele, being telephone, is kind of where it started out. Communication. So it's really the communication piece of the word kind of expands on not just being telephones. Communications today, and actually they've transitioned from telecommunications to unified communications, because really it's a world of how do people talk to people, and how do today people talk to computers? How do computers talk to computers? And really telecommunications is really that transaction of communication.
I like it. And as you said, I've heard the word unified communications more and more often recently. So it's like, oh my God, another kind of communication. I got to figure out what it is. Okay, well, ginormous industry, but you summed it up pretty well there. Now, you're going to be, I talked about when I opened the show about the Journeys to Success book series. And the next one coming out is the Sales Professionals Edition. Both of us have a passion and an interest in sales. I got into it when I was very young. How did you get into a sales role yourself? Because those are often interesting stories. They're often totally happenstance, but they often help people to see that, hey, I love sales, and this is a true profession and a calling for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, I've always had a respect for sales. I know there's, you know, when people think sales, sometimes they think, oh, the used car salesman, and there's no disrespect to that profession, but, you know, like, or the slimy salesman, or they're just trying to sell me something. You know, there's a lot of times there's a negative connotation. I never had that. I always had a genuine respect for salespeople bringing business through the front door. It takes a lot to build trust with people and with customers and businesses. And I always saw that. So while I was a technician and I worked my way through support and I was an architect in the engineering department, you know, I did a lot of technical roles and was always brought in by sales as a technical advisor. And always having that respect, it was always in the back of my mind, hey, you know, how is it to be a salesperson? Or I wonder what it'd be like to be a salesperson, or what's a day in the life of a salesperson? And I don't remember who it was. Somebody had said to me, actually, the people in the company that make the most amount of money and the least amount of money are salespeople. And I remember hearing that statement, and it struck me, and I thought, wow, am I ever intrigued? What does that mean? You know, and you know, that kind of played around in my head a little bit. And believe it or not, I used to work at a large telecommunications company, a large carrier. And I decided to quit my job in the technical world and transition to sales and launch my own company. And I had never been in a sales role before. My first introduction to sales was actually launching my own sales and consulting company. So some people say I'm crazy, but I think I just had a natural passion for it and intrigued by it. And it's been working out for me. I've been in business now for a few years, and I've found a lot of success, and I've enjoyed the journey as well.
Nice. That's the exciting part, that you've enjoyed the journey, because sales can certainly be a journey and an up and down journey for sure. And not for everybody. Now, one thing I've always loved about sales is that it can give you the earning power to pursue your real interests and real passion and real hobbies in life. And that's what a definite purpose should do as well. If you're a Napoleon Hill fan and you have a definite purpose, it allows you to earn that extra money, be passionate about something so that you can really pursue, you know, your interests in life. So outside of business itself, rarely do I like talking about business if I meet someone one-on-one. What are your passions? What are your hobbies? What gets you excited? What gets you thinking about it during the middle of the day when you should be thinking about something else?
Yeah, you know what? It's funny, Tom. You say rarely do you talk about business. I'm one of the odd ones that if I get an opportunity to engage with people and talk business, that's actually a passion of mine. I'm also a big fan of Napoleon Hill and Think and Grow Rich, and a big fan of Life by Design. And I think I'm a natural business person. I love corporate structuring and financing and all those challenges. And, you know, so oddly enough, one of my passions is business, and I'm fortunate for that. I think a lot of people, it might take a lot of effort. For me, it's really effortless to be in the business world. I just have a natural passion for it. And I think outside of business, really, I'm a family man. My wife and kids keep me busy, my extended family. I really have a passion for family, and sales allows me. My son always gets freaked out when I call him up at 2:30 because I know he's off school, and I say, hey, let's go grab a coffee. And he's, oh my God, how come all these other parents are working and you can go grab a coffee? And through technology and unified communications, I'm empowered to have that freedom. But also being in sales, I can set expectations accordingly, and I can spend that time with my kids and my wife and stuff like that. So
I like it. And I don't think that parents promote sales enough to kids as a career option. Look at this, you have freedom during the middle of the day. Even presidents of companies, as you were saying earlier, some of the people who earn more than presidents are salespeople. And sometimes those same salespeople have time at 2 p.m. or 2:30 to call their son and make that a priority in their day. To start a business, be a president of a business or a CEO of a business takes way more than that. So I'm hoping that, with the economy the way it is and things the way they are, that parents will start opening up to suggesting sales as a career for their children. It gives you freedom of time. If you are good at it, it gives you freedom of a lot of things because you can make a lot of money.
Absolutely. I agree.
Now, Kevin, one thing, we'll get back to Thinking Grow Rich later. You got me excited talking about that one. But one thing I find with so many people is that there's often one thing or one event, significant event in their life that shakes them up, brings them to the rock bottom, to the end of their rope, and forces them almost to make immediate changes on their life. Have you come across that point in your life yet?
I have that. I love the title of the book, Journeys to Success, because life is truly a journey. And if you approach it that way and really appreciate that fact, you really get to see life. I heard another phrase, life happens for you, not to you. I'm an avid reader and I pull all these phrases out. I think one person called me once the one line guy. I'm always pulling these phrases out. But definitely life happens for you and not to you. But when you're going through those moments and sometimes looking back on moments in life, you look at your story. I believe everybody has a story to tell. My story, just in a nutshell, and you're talking about and asking about the event. When I was growing up, I grew up in low-income housing. I grew up in Ontario Housing in Peterborough. And my parents didn't make a lot of money. My dad was a sheet metal worker and a fantastic man. But low income. And my mom was a stay-at-home mom and babysat kids. And their claim to fame is actually they had 60 or 61 foster children come through the house as well. So amazing people, lots of love. And that's really what I got a lot of nurturing growing up. But it was funny because as a child, I used to see a lot of my other friends, they owned homes. They lived around the corner or a street over and they owned homes. And I always dreamt of moving into our own house. And unfortunately, my mom got into a car accident. It was a serious accident and she got a settlement. And through that settlement, we were able to buy a house. Of course, elated. We moved into this new house, just I'll collapse time frames here, but moved into the new house. A year after we moved in, my dad lost his job. My parents started hitting rocky roads, money problems, and 2.5 years after moving into that house, getting the house wasn't the significant event. Getting the house was a great situation, but the significant event that really rocked me to the core was, 2.5 years after getting the house, my parents ended up, the financial situation, they couldn't handle it. They ended up going through divorce. The bank took our house and, myself and my two siblings and my parents kind of scattered and kind of went our own directions in life. And having your world taken from you like that and really that event you're talking about shook me to the core. And I made kind of a promise to myself that I would provide myself with the security, the financial security, the roof over my head. And, at the age of 17, I went to the bank and said, what can I invest in? And, one of my passions is investing in real estate and all that other stuff as well. But I really, at that point, I was investing in T-bills at 17. I was working three jobs to put myself through college. And I wasn't a good student, but I knew if I can get through college, get a decent job, I can make more money. And so it really was the driving event in my life to get me to be such a motivated person. I don't need external things. I'm not working for that car. I'm not working for the big house or anything. I'm working for security. And when I finally got the security in my own life, which is me, and I constantly invest in my asset, my own brain, it really gave me a means to relax and live life now. And I love life. And another one of my passions is music. You know, I've been playing the guitar for over 20 years and singing and songwriting and stuff like that. And so now through me providing me with my own security and my family security, I can kind of relax a little bit and enjoy my life and my passions and family and business and things like that. So that was a significant event for me, and my family's still very close. My parents are best friends now, which is amazing. You know, we've all kind of come out of that event unscathed, but I think we all took lessons from it, and that was certainly a big one for me.
Wow, amazing. And one of my good friends, Miloš Bulatović, his definite purpose is very simple. It's to be the best husband and father he could possibly be. And I was like, Miloš, you're a talented man. You could earn a lot more money. You could, you know, live in a nicer place. You could, a lot of things you can do, because he is a good, sharp, talented person. And he said, listen, if I make decisions being based on being the best husband and father, think of the decisions that affects me in my life and what I may or may not do because of that. And he said, you know, that really is my purpose. And finally, I had to agree with him. I thought it was too simple at first, but I think someone like yourself that's gone through what you've been through can probably say that a good portion of your definite purpose is to be the best husband and father you can be, because part of that is provider and security and making sure in the future that you and they have everything they need to be the best they can be. And so I think your life experience has brought you to the point probably where your purpose is, as you said, not about cars and houses and big toys and fancy things. It's more about, can my wife and kids and I sleep well tonight? Do we have the security we need to pay our bills? And am I making a contribution to the world? And I think life has brought you to a good place. You've gotten far enough on the journey now that not only are you good at mastering the sales and the business part and making money, but you've also been through the challenge enough to know what's important in life. And it's not those cars and those houses most of the time. And so nice that you've been able to come to that. And that even the event that brought you to this realization ended up working out in the end. As you said, your parents are best friends now, and you've all been able to move through that one challenging event in your life. Now, you talked about reading. You got me all excited there. You mentioned Thinking, Grow Rich and Napoleon Hill, and we know you've read that. And you mentioned another one, Life by Design. Is that just a concept or a book? Or
No, Life by Design is a concept. A lot of people talk about that. I'm a big Tony Robbins fan and Tony Jiri fan, and who wrote 4-Hour Workweek, Timothy Ferris.
Ferris, yeah.
You know, the New Rich and just different concepts. And I'm a big believer in, making distinctions in life helps you make better decisions. And the decisions that you make in life really drive what kind of life that you have. You know, and that's a big thing for me, is I'm forever looking for those distinctions. I love when the light bulb goes on and my mind is really open. And when that light bulb goes on, I make a distinction. It allows me to, empowers me really to make better decisions for my life moving forward. And I do like the cars and houses and all this other stuff. And I do strive to get those things in my life. My guitar collection's growing.
Right.
But, I do understand that my happiness is not about the external things and life is not about the external things. It's really about your internal self. And when you can fill yourself up, you can, you know, when you runneth over, you can then help other people and be there for other people and build a legacy. And hopefully that legacy is going to include, you know, having a good impact on the world and the people around you.
Right, right. Amen. Amen. So you've been through life enough and challenges enough, and often all we get is a chance to give someone one piece of advice, one thing that, you know, what's that one piece of advice that you would give someone who wants to be successful? Have you been able to distill it down into that one piece so far?
I think, it's difficult to sum it down to one thing. It's very difficult to give one piece of advice, but I think one recipe or one ingredient to the recipe to success is, for me, it's persistence. That never give up attitude. I know that I've had several opportunities in my life to give up and to just stop doing what I was doing. And I chose not to. And I think persistence is something that you have to have at the core. Also learning. I think, again, it's not one thing, it's a few things, but so continuing to have that persistence, continuing to learn. It's funny because another quick story. I remember my dad is a sheet metal worker. When he lost his job, he was actually given an opportunity by the owner of the company to help move a lot of the equipment to Montreal, which is where the head office was, which is where the work was kind of going to move to. And I'm going to come around to talking about imparting wisdom here. And I remember the owner of the company asked me to, hey, jump in the car with me and your dad can follow us. And when I got into the car with him, he was a very successful businessman. And he said to me, remember this, knowledge is power, is what he told me. I said, wow. You know, I was about 16 years old. And I'm thinking, knowledge is power. And I hated school, you know, and I'm thinking, knowledge is power. Well, I want power. If I want power, I've got to have knowledge. Well, school is knowledge. And I didn't really know how to relate the phrase.
Right.
Until later, I started to learn more and read more, and I'm thinking, wow. And then anybody that would listen to me, I'd say, hey, knowledge is power. That was kind of my, you know, me imparting wisdom on them. And then I remember sitting in a seminar at one point, and somebody said to me, you know, a lot of people in this world believe that knowledge is power, and that's absolutely wrong. You know, and again, it was one of those moments where I just rocked to the core, and I thought, what are you talking about?
I mean, right.
This is wisdom to me. And he said, actually, no. He says, knowledge is important, but the power comes when you apply the knowledge. So the statement has to be changed to applied knowledge is power. And I mean, that was another one of those moments where it was like, wow, like that is a distinction that is now going to help me make better decisions moving forward. I can gain all the knowledge I want in the world if I don't do anything with it. And I don't take that first step or step on the first step of the staircase without seeing the rest. And having that, you know, that faith, I'm not going to get anywhere, and I'm not going to have that success that I strive for every day. So, I think one of the things is persistence and really look for those distinctions to help you make better decisions. Keep learning.
Right. Exactly. I love the persistence one, especially if you're in sales. If you're persistent, you could just wear someone out pleasantly, but eventually you're going to make the sale. And so I love that part about persistence. Let's talk about Napoleon Hill. How old were you when you were introduced to Think and Grow Rich? Or was there someone special that said, hey, Kevin, you got to start with this book here? Who introduced you to it? And what was your impression the first time you read it?
That's funny you say that the first time, because I've read it, I think, 4 times now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get the audiobook because I'm a big believer in those. I'm on audible.com and I've got my books and stuff. And, I stumbled upon it. Maybe one of my mentors, I have several mentors. I have a life coach. I'm a big believer in mentorship and coaching, to help me be the best version of myself that I can be. But I think it might've been through a mentor of mine that said, you know, or maybe in passing, I have a habit of when somebody mentions a book, I grab my pen. I've always got a pen and paper around and I write these book titles down. And I'm one of the crazy ones that actually goes and buys the book and sits down and reads it. I love reading. So
yeah,
it's just done. I've done well with reading. So, my first impression of Think and Grow Rich, and I think it was just somebody mentioning it in passing. I wrote it down, picked it up. Naturally, who doesn't want to be rich? And if I can just think and grow rich, then why not? But obviously the concepts are much deeper than that. And, they're simple and it's simple, but not easy is what one of my mentors says. My impression was amazing. My first time through it, I thought incredible book. I kind of get what they're getting at, but I think I missed more than I got, you know, and I'm a big believer in reading books multiple times because as you carry on with your life and you learn more and you're really receptive and open-minded to learning, I think you really do change your lens. And it's really the lens that you have and the way that you think that allows you to, you know, absorb information differently.
Right, right. And that's why the rereading of Think and Grow Rich and other, there's probably five or six core books that I reread every year among the 40 I read. Just like Think and Grow Rich, I'm probably on 30, 35 times reading it now, just because there's so much knowledge in there and you're at a different point when you're reading it and you're thinking different ways when you're reading it each time. And so I like that idea that you go back to books and reread some of them. They're so valuable that you almost have to reread them to extract all the wisdom and the knowledge that you can use from them.
Absolutely. Repetition is the mother of all skills. So right. Definitely rereading and, I liken to learning, just about anything, like learning the guitar. You know, your fingers are sore and if you just keep going and, my fingers aren't supposed to do that, but then you get your fingers to do that and, you're just constantly repeating and doing something over and over and over until you get it. And when you get it, they're just monumental moments in your life and really change and shape the way that you live your life. So Definitely repetition, reread, and big fan of that.
I think the repetition moves it from knowledge to the power part, because now if you reread it a bunch of times, you're bound to apply a number of things that are in it. And so I think that's really where the application comes in. What about the world of sales? Are there any particular sales books or sales ideas or processes or things that you use in your sales career that have come from books or trainers or mentors as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, the book that got me to quit my job and start my own company was called 10% Happier.
I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, that's I could reach on my shelf behind me, but Dan Harris, that 10% Happier by Dan Harris. He was one of the hosts of Good Morning America, I believe. and basically, his book was about, so 10% Happier is just, his philosophy is don't strive to, don't strive for that euphoria. Just strive to be 10% better. Just do what you got to do to be 10% better. Be more aware. He goes through all these concepts. So that was one of the books I read, actually. And it wasn't that book that made me transition into my own company. It was a book called Good to Great.
Nice.
And that was more focused around, I guess I can attribute that more to sales, but it's kind of a business book. You could attribute it to sales. And his whole concept was get the right people on the bus, get the wrong people off the bus, and then get the right people that are on the bus in the right seats. That book actually made me take a look at myself and my role in the organization that I was with. And I looked at that and I thought, okay, am I on the right bus? If I think I'm on the right bus, am I in the right seat? And what I boiled it down to was, I don't think I'm on the right bus. Not that it was a bad company, it's a fantastic company, but it doesn't fit me. And am I in the right seat? And my personality, when I started doing these personality tests and everything, I realized it's not really my personality. So I'm sticking myself behind the computer every day and I'm working with technology and these inanimate objects, and I'm really a people person. And sales speaks more to being a people person. So I that book, Good to Great, which was oddly enough was given to me by my manager at the time. So he was a little shocked when he gave me this book, and I wrote him an email after reading it saying, hey, this was a fantastic book and I've made some decisions for my life. And by the way, this is my resignation. So, but he was a remarkable man, and he supported my decision and he supported me through the whole process, and we had a good succession plan put together. And then I transitioned into, what I am doing now, which is running my own sales company and having some great partnerships across the country and all that good stuff. So
nice. Well, Napoleon Hill, in a lot of his writings, any of his writings on the mastermind group, he always spoke about how the spouse is the most key mastermind member. And he always mentions Henry Ford and Thomas Edison as his prime examples of that. Talk about that in your own life, because to be an entrepreneur and a salesperson and run your own business often requires a wife that has different patient skills and different levels of things that other wives may not have, our spouses may not have. So talk about how your wife has been important to your mastermind group, to your career, to your sales career, to your business.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question, a great observation. And I think it's a fundamental thing when you make the decision to be an entrepreneur, you make the decision to, you know, kind of do your own thing and take on that extra risk. You have to have a spouse that's understanding. And the odd thing was my wife did it before I did. So I was actually the understanding spouse initially. So she had a job with a large local company here in Waterloo, technology company. She was a project manager and did very well. And she made the decision to actually quit her job and dabble in real estate and real estate investing, and wanted to, you know, launch her own company. And so naturally I supported that, being passionate about business and just about us as individuals growing and being the best version of ourselves. So I supported her in that. And then of course, that was in 2012. And in 2015, so a few years later, when I came to her and actually said, hey, this is what I'm thinking of doing. You know, naturally it wasn't an easy decision and lots of stress involved, and you're thinking finances and money. And while she, you know, I had benefits because I was still employed,
right.
Company, and now both of us would be entrepreneurs. And, but naturally she knew it was a passion of mine, and I evaluated my life to an extreme extent, you know, understanding that I got to get on a different bus now and sit in a different seat. And I like the driver's seat, and you know, so, she was 100% supportive. And she kind of returned the favor, and she was all in. And we both had the courage together, I guess, to take that journey and both be entrepreneurs. So,
well, it's nice that the roles were reversed. You got to do it first for her, and both times, I'm sure, big decisions, big challenges. And as you said, like even things like health insurance,
yeah,
those are pretty important. And in my case, my wife gets paid really well, works hard at a law firm, but no health insurance. So as an entrepreneur, you don't get that either. And so a lot of times you have to give up things that the rest of the world is enjoying, whether it's health insurance or pension plans or other things, to do that. So big decisions, and you really do have to have the support of your spouse, because income levels will go up and down, stress levels will go up and down in a sort of a bigger degree than they would if you just had a job, because now you have a business as well. You are a business owner, and the pressure is higher than even just being an employee.
Definitely.
And if you don't have that support of your spouse, oh, that's going to make things so much more stressful.
Yeah. I've spoken to quite a few people that have wanted to make major decisions in their lives, whether it was, you know, wanting to quit and start their own company or just doing other major things in their lives, and have not had the support of their spouse for whatever reason. And I know that the difficulties and challenges that they went through without that support. So I've always known I'm lucky. I'm grateful.
Blessed.
100% blessed. Absolutely. So definitely makes life easier when you've got that partner that's standing behind you.
Right. You got kids?
I do have kids. Yeah. I have a 19-year-old daughter and a 16-year-old son.
Nice.
From a previous marriage.
Yeah, but when you think of the choices you've made to get into business and get into sales and all those things, those are good examples for your kids as well, because not every kid has an example of a parent who's self-employed, who's in sales, and who even suggests that as an option for their children. Like, you know, why go to university? Why not get into sales or get into your own business? Or so not every child has that example even to conceive of, whether you openly tell them they should get into sales or, you know, look into getting into their own business. They see it as an example that their father did it themselves. And so it opens their mind. I think when kids have parents who are open to being entrepreneurs and making a part-time income and getting into sales, I think that opens the eyes of their kids as well as to what's possible in this world as far as earning money and making a living.
Absolutely. I agree. Yeah, both my kids know that, you know, we're a drastically different household than the average household. You know, they come here and, you know, mom and dad are going out for coffee at 9 o'clock at night or not working all day and then all of a sudden doing an hour in the evening and talking about closing contracts or, hey, I got two more contracts. He says, you're on the golf course today. How's that possible? You know? And so definitely a different lifestyle. My wife and I have started to travel recently, and like in the last 10 years, we've done a lot of travel, and my kids know that I can, you know, jump on a plane and go somewhere and still run a business. And they're blown away at how I can do that and sustain the lifestyle that you have. And so definitely opens their eyes to possibilities, and they realize they have choice. So definitely I love to lead by example. And I think that they both see distinct differences between our household and other households there that, and again, with no disrespect to any other way of life, I believe everybody has choices. But yeah, we love being entrepreneurs, and we love the tough times and the great times that entrepreneurship comes with.
Right. And it just happens to, as a byproduct, open up the mind of your children, because they can see this. Look at that, traveling all over, but he can still manage a business and make sales while he's on a golf course and make sales at all hours of the night, or work, you know, sit at home playing his guitar all day and then work for 3 hours and make a pile of money. It doesn't always work that way, but they see the possibilities of being self-employed and the benefits of it. And that's not always modeled. As you said, every family is different, and no slight on any family. It's just, if you get to see it in real life, your parents doing it. My friend Milos, for instance, he is a marathoner. He runs 5-6 days a week. And he said, one of the major reasons I run is so that my kids can see me come in at 7 a.m. every morning, just as they're waking up. And they'll never have to ask me the value of fitness or health, because they see, here's good old dad pounding the pavement at 5 a.m. every morning and coming in at 7. So they know the value of health and fitness because their dad is doing it. And he said, I could lecture them all day on health importance and everything, but he said, if they see me doing it, that's all the lecturing I have to do.
That's it.
Right? So what your kids see is what they believe is could be a possibility or importance to them as well.
Definitely. Well said.
Nice. So your website, I should have got to your website earlier. There are people, I'm sure, in telecommunications that are going to be listening to this. So how can people connect with you?
My website, strategyglobal.ca, is available, and it's always on, as websites are. So going to strategyglobal.ca will connect you to a brief description about my company. I am a Bell certified partner. So I actually resell Bell products and services. That's the sales part. And the consulting part is, I consult. I have some fairly large customers, cities and hospitals and things like that, on structured cabling and unified communications, we talked a little bit about. To connect with me, jump on strategyglobal.ca. I've got a contact form. It's the last tab on my website.
Yeah.
I've also got a contact phone number that comes directly to me. And they can reach out to me anytime. I've got business hours there. My time with my family is precious, but I do have customers across the country and in different parts of the world as well. So for me, my customers in Vancouver, for example, I might talk to them at 7 o'clock at night because we've got a 3-hour difference. But
right. And you got with Bell Canada, you got a pretty amazing partner there. One of the oldest and most respected and largest companies in Canada with amazing products. So you start with a great toolkit of services you can offer people and products. So good for you. So strategyglobal.ca, obviously mostly if you're in Canada, that's who you would deal with. But great talking to you today, Kevin. I love talking about sales. I love talking about Think and Grow Rich and personal development books. And sounds like you really have a good handle on life, on purpose and work and income and sales. And it was fun talking with you. I love talking with someone who really has their feet on the ground like you do, and who realizes the value of important things in life like family and spouse and kids. And so keep up the great work, strategyglobal.ca. And if you're in Canada and you have a phone or any kind of communication system, at least give Kevin a call or check him out. I'm sure he can help you out. And even if not, good guy to know, even if he can't specifically help you with your needs. Thanks for joining me today, Kevin. Amazing talking to you. I know you'll be doing well, and I'm looking forward to your chapter in the Sales Professionals edition of Journeys to Success coming out soon.
That's great. Thank you very much, Tom. Appreciate your time, and I look forward to many more conversations with you.
Have an amazing day. Thanks so much, Kevin. Take care.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Journey to Success Radio. If you or anyone you know would like to be interviewed for the show, email Tom at tom2tall.com for details.